Amen. It's been a wonderful morning so far of just praising the Lord, an extended time of worship. I've been thoroughly blessed. I hope you have been too. Let's pray and see what the Lord will say to us during this time. Father, as usual, as we gather together, Lord, we desire to commit our time, our ways, ourselves into your hands, Lord, desiring that you would move amongst us by your Spirit, you would minister to our hearts and minds. As our sister Doreen said, Lord, you would fashion us and shape us to be more like you, more like Jesus. Your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is already established and running perfectly fine in heaven, Lord. We pray for these things, Lord. So speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to each other, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, welcome back to Calvary Chapel, East Dulwich. That's the time for you to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Shalom. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, as some will say, Yeshua HaMashiach, our God and our King. So we're back after this second lockdown. And, you know, lockdown has been different for so many of us, amen? We've had different experiences through lockdown. And some of us have found the experiences we've gone through to be very, very difficult. And the scriptures tells us that we should rejoice with those who rejoice and we should mourn with those who mourn. And we've done our share of rejoicing and we've done our share of mourning as well, haven't we? My hope is that as we've gone through this lockdown period that, you know, the book of Hebrews, which we were going through in the first lockdown, chapter 10, 24, says that in all things we should consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, a very specific day, when we see and we believe that the Lord will return for his bride, the church. Amen? So, it's our responsibility to consider each other, to stir up love and good works, and to exhort one another and to fellowship. And we've been able to do that via Zoom because we haven't been able to do that in person. And so, you know, we need to encourage each other in those things, in these things. I want to thank Andrew, Soros and Wayne for the last few weeks where they've covered and then gone through that study in the book of Galatians, teaching us about the fruit of the Spirit. And I hope that that was very, very encouraging to us all. Today, believe it or not, is actually Pentecost. Did you know that?
No.
It is actually Pentecost. 10 days after the Lord's ascension. 50 days after Passover. Passover, when the gift of the Holy Spirit was, well, it was given to the church, amen? When Jesus said to his disciples that you should go to Jerusalem and wait there. Be patient, wait there. And then there you'll be endued, or some translation says clothed, with power. From where? From on high. Which we see in Luke 24:49. And so, just to think that today is Pentecost, it's the first time we're gathering back. It's just a lovely thought that we pray that the Holy Spirit will indeed fall afresh on us again in a new and a living way to overflowing, that we'll be filled with his presence. And so just thinking about these things, about being clothed with power on high, I just wanted to do another topical study, which I hope will both be challenging and it will be encouraging to us all. And I'm going to try and stick with this theme of being clothed. With being clothed with a garment, as it were. With being clothed with power from on high. And so if you have your Bibles, would you like to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. And what I'd like us to do today is, as I said, consider what the Lord teaches us about garments and wineskins. Garments and wineskins. Luke chapter 5. And while you're turning there, just to build, set it up a little bit, I'm sure you would all agree that most of us are fashion conscious in one way or another, right? Some of us might like a bit of Louis, a bit of Gucci, a bit of Lacoste, a bit of Zara, a bit of Primani. We like a bit of Primani, yeah? So we're all fashion conscious to one degree or another. And, you know, some of us might like to put our colours together like Sister Tracy. Always colour coordinated. And I must say, she won't like me for saying this, but one of the many things that attracted me to my beautiful wife was the way that she always dressed very lovely. And she still dresses very lovely. And so I'll say these things to say that clothing is important to all of us. And believe it or not, Jesus is also interested in clothing. He's interested in garments. How we are dressed and how we look before him. We know that in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve, you know, they were clothed with the Shekinah glory of God. And when sin entered into the world, then they lost that covering. And so what did the Lord have to do? He had to make garments of skin to clothe their spiritual nakedness. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10 tells us that as we accept Christ Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that spiritually he gives us a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. What a lovely exchange, because before that it says that all our righteousness was as filthy rags. But once we come to the Lord, he gives us that garment of salvation, that robe of righteousness. We have the imagery in Romans chapter 13 and then in the book of Colossians chapter 3 of putting off the old man like a garment and putting on the new man as a garment. And if we check out the book of Exodus, many, many years ago, I'd done a topical thing on the garments of the priesthood. And as you look at the garments of the high priest, we see that Yahweh was very, very specific that his high priest only wore fine linen. He only wanted them to wear fine linen because he didn't want them to wear wool, because wool makes you sweat. And as you serve the Lord, he doesn't want his people sweating, because working for the Lord should be a joyous thing. We should do it with all joy. And so when we look at the full robes of the high priest, we see that it was, for its day and maybe even today, very, very stylish. You know, the colors, the imagery, which everything, every part of the garment symbolized an aspect of Christ. And so God is very, very interested in how his high priest would look. It's very, very stylish, and you know, we're all into bling, right? It had a lot of bling on it. The breastplate of righteousness, we had the shoulder bits, we've had gold on it. It had fine gold interwoven within all of the fabric and the sash. It was just immaculate. And so Yahweh is interested in garments. And as we go through Luke 5, we will see that he is interested in garments, but he's also interested in another thing we're going to look into, which is developing and preserving wine. So garments and wineskins. That's what we're thinking about today. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. That wasn't a good amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Reading from the New King James Version, it says, then he, speaking of Jesus, spoke a parable to them. And he said, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. So, Luke chapter 5, in its context, we know that Jesus is talking about fulfilling the old system of the law of God and introducing the new system with the new covenant, which is purchased by his blood. And he starts off by giving us standard information that everyone in the crowd would understand and they would agree with, because they would be familiar with these things. So he says, no one puts a piece from a new garment into an old one. And so the question we have to ask here is, why would anyone generally want to ruin a brand new garment in order to repair an old garment? Do you think about that when you read this? It's like, why would you want to ruin a brand new garment to repair an old garment? I mean, some of us like our old clothes, right? Our old pieces and everything. You think, I just want to maintain it. But you're not going to ruin a new piece of a garment to maintain, sustain an old piece. It's like you go into Primark. I'm going to bring Primark into it again. Primark, and buying a brand new top so that you can repair an old Primark top. It just doesn't make sense in your head, right? So Jesus is saying, look, it doesn't make sense. No one puts a piece from a new garment onto an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. Now, what isn't being said within the text here, but everyone would understand and everybody knew, is that somewhere along the line, like all of our clothes, no matter how much we love them, our clothes have to go through a washing process. It has to be cleaned. And as it goes through the washing process, the new cloth had not yet shrunk. So if you put a new piece of a cloth onto an old garment, it's going to cause it to tear. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, otherwise, the new, because it hasn't gone through the shrinking process, is going to make the old tear. So it doesn't make sense. And so Jesus is giving us this idea that, you know, garments are going through the washing process. And if we can see ourselves as putting on a garment, we as garments, if we can metaphorically look at that, it's like as we go through that process of the washing, yielding to the Spirit of God, being obedient to the Spirit of God, being obedient to the authority of his word by the washing of the water of the word, which it says in Ephesians chapter 5. You see, Jesus is saying, look, if you don't allow to be moved with the washing process, something's going to tear. You're not going to be able to receive what I want to do with you. And Jesus doesn't want us, the garment, to tear and be ruined. Does anybody feel like they're being stretched and washed? And maybe there's a bit of tearing going on. The Lord continues. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new does not match. It does not match the old. So, just thinking about this a little bit more, they're both pieces of garment, right? But one does not match the other. It's not compatible. The old cloth and the new cloth does not match. So, Jesus is saying that the garment has to be a new garment. It has to be new. And this is why the scriptures tells us that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, guess what? He is a new creation. Jesus isn't in the business of patching up the old. He wants to make us a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Jesus is stating that we cannot carry our old ways, our old man, into this walk and relationship with God. Our own beliefs, our own habits, our own truth, which is like a buzz thing which people say these days. This is my truth. Our own way of wanting to do things. If they do not match up with the word, because Jesus' word is the final authority, and Christ has to be our all in all. You can't bring Adam into this new relationship with Jesus. Adam has to die. Christ has to live. You cannot bring your own thought processes and the way you want to do things or I want to do things into this new, because that has to decrease. He has to increase. You can't patch up a new garment with an old garment. It doesn't work. We have to be new. And so we have to die to self daily. Who likes doing that? Who does well in dying to self daily? We have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus once a week, right? Daily. We have to do that business of putting off the old and putting on the new. How are we doing in that? It's hard work, right? But Jesus wants to take us through the washing process. He's taking us through that washing process. The washing of the water of the word. We read the word and it says, the word is right, you and I are wrong. What are you going to do about it? That attitude you have is off key. It doesn't line up with my word. What are you going to do about it? And then we have a choice, right? Then we have a choice where we're going to line up with the word or just carry on being us. Amen. Amen. We're all there, right? Yes. This is the process of sanctification. We're all battling with these things. Am I with the right crowd? I'm with the right crowd, right? Amen. Right. Jesus wants to wash us. He gives us that new... You see, Jesus, when he washed the disciples' feet, okay? And Peter says, no, wash all of me. He goes, all of you don't need washing, bruv. But two twos, as you walk through life, you get dust on your feet. You get little contamination because you've got hard heart. You've got evil intentions and everything. You need to wash them things off. Daily. Your feet get dusty. You're sanctified, Peter, but you're going to get contaminated, if I can say it that way, in the world. And you got the world you got to deal with. You got yourself you got to deal with. You got the devil you got to deal with. But hear what? I've overcome the world. And I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. If God be for us, thank you. That's the God we serve, yeah? So this isn't an impossible thing. With man, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And so Jesus says, no one, like, if you're part of the crowd, you go, right, yeah, no brainer. I mean, we read it and because we're removed from the culture and everything, we don't always understand it, right? He says, and no one, it's a no-brainer, would put new wine into old wineskins. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled and the wineskins will be ruined. So there's a lot of things going on here. It's a no-brainer. No one would even do this. God wouldn't do this. And so the question is, when we look at this text, is the new wine or the skin the issue? What is the issue? The new wine or the skin? It's the skin, right? It's the garment, right? It's the garment or the skin, right? So, just a bit of context. Back in the day, clean water was not always so readily available. And so wine was the staple drink of the day because the alcohol within it killed the bacteria. And so there were different strengths of wine. And so, you know, it wasn't like they were giving wine to children, their children were getting lean. So there were different strengths of wine. So some wine was like just a refreshing drink, but then there were some wines which will get you lean. And so amongst the Jews, Wine was not stored in barrels and then placed in lovely bottles, which you can go to Sainsbury's and just pick one off the shelf, you know, Shiraz or a Chardonnay. You know, it wasn't placed like that. It was placed in goat skins, all right? And when they were placed in goat skins, the wine would go through the fermentation process, yeah? Where gases would be produced, which made the wine inside the skin unpredictable. With sudden movements. You see? It's in the skin. The wine's in the skin, and the skin has to be subtle, you see, because there's movements. There's, all right. Yeah, you feel me, Wayne? Yeah, get me. So there's sudden movements, right, within the skin. So the skin needs to be pliable. Needs to be flexible, needs to be bendable, so that it would not burst the skin. Because, you know, if it was an old skin, the problem with the old skin is that over time, the old skin became hard. How many of us can be hard? It would become brittle. It would become unusable. And even though it was hard and brittle and unusable, it wasn't impossible to restore an old wineskin. There was still hope, right? Because they could then sort of like submerge the skin in water for a period of time, and then they'd have to take it out, let it dry off, and they'd have to rub oil into the skin, you know, over and over again, just to kind of like bring it back to a bit of life, just to restore it back to how it was, so it could be subtle, so it could be bendable and pliable. But the process was what? It was long. Who wants to go through that? Just give me a new wineskin, yeah? And so, this is exactly why they use new wineskins for new wine. Because as I said, the new wineskin could handle the movement. The stretching, the sudden movement. Lord, you don't want me to do that, do you? Yes, I do. Lord, you don't want me to go there, do you? Yes, I do. You're going to stretch a bit? You're going to move a bit? Lord, use me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to be used by you. Okay, I want to use you this way. Well, not like that, Lord. I was kind of like thinking like that. Use me in that way. No. It's not according to your will. It's my will. Let my will be done in your life. And so, stretching, moving, new wineskins. And so Jesus is saying, no one would put new wine into old wineskins because the old wineskins were hard and brittle. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. And so when we look at these words, it will burst, it will spill, it will be ruined. God's not in the business of spilling wine. His wine is precious to him. He's not in the business of spilling wine because it's vintage stuff around here. The problem is not the wine, the problem is the skin. And so God sees it as being unfair. It would be unfair for me to put my wine into an old wineskin because I know that it's set up for failure, right? New wine must go into a new wineskin because I don't want it to burst. I know that the old system is not compatible for this new system. The old system of the old covenant had its place and had its time. But Jesus has come along, fulfilled that stuff. Now we need a new covenant. You can't stay in the old. You've got to come true into the new. And as you come through into the new, as I said before, you come out of Adam, you step into Christ. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. And God gives us everything we need to make it compatible, that we can sustain and maintain this life of godliness before him. So he wants us to be subtle and pliable. He wants us to daily offer our gifts and our talents to him and examine ourselves to see exactly if we are still in the faith. Dying to self, as I said before. Fulfilling his call and his purpose for our lives. Because you know what, as Christians, we can just get comfortable in, well, I'm a Christian, innit? I've been a Christian for a minute now. I've been a Christian for a while. This is what I do. I go to church, I sing two songs, and this is what I do. But you're missing that personal, ongoing relationship with Jesus. We're just doing things for the motion. God's not interested in robots around here. He's interested in a personal relationship, as we know. And so, new wine, he says, must be. Is that what it says in your text? But new wine must be. This is a must be. Must be. There's no mixing here. As I said, there's no holding on to the old stuff. You know, there's no holding on to our old behavioral patterns. And we've all got them. Holding on to our own character flaws. And we've all got them. By holding on to maybe our denomination or our traditions. You know, I love Jesus, but this is the denomination we grew up in. No, whatever. Nah, it's not about that. It's not a Jesus plus salvation. Yeah, I've got Jesus plus, I need this extra book, the book of Watchtower or Mormonism or whatever. No, it's none of that stuff. You can't bring it through. New wine must be put into new wineskins. And when it's put into a new wineskin, guess what? Both are preserved. God's good. His wine's not spilled. And he's got this sort of like wine skin, which is intact. Can handle the movement. Both are preserved as opposed to bursting, spilling, and being ruined. So, this is the process of what we would call sanctification in the New Testament. The process of fermentation, which is often uncomfortable. I mean, you know, when the Lord tells me something about myself, I really don't like it. When he exposes an attitude and you got to deal with it, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because you know, you're like, oh Lord, oh yeah, okay, there's still some work to be done. I thought I'd achieved. I thought I reached. Anybody thought they reached for Jesus? And he's like, all right, okay. You know? And it's like, you know, he just shows you that, right, Patrick, there's this washing going on. Do you want to be washed? There's a fermentation process going on. Do you want to go through this when I'm, you know, unexpected movements are going on? You still got those drivers who are going to cut you up. You're still going to get them. How are you going to act? You know, people being horrible to you on the bus. I haven't been on the bus for about a year. I don't know. But you're still going to get these situations. How are you going to act? You're going to act like Jesus. Because that's the encouragement, amen. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new. For he says, guess what? The old is better. I mean, again, within its context, we know we're talking about old covenant, new covenant, right? But I'm just kind of like bringing it in metaphorically speaking. You know what I mean? But we know that, you know, it's like, it's the battle we have with the old man and the new man, just keeping it real, staying there. We don't want to do this new stuff because we feel like the old is better. Our old ways, we're comfortable with our old ways. This is what I'm like. So I don't move into this new, but you're like, look, but I'm trying to make you more like me into my image and my likeness. So there needs to be some washing or fermentation process or cutting away what needs to happen. Are you willing to go through the process And it's hard. But we have to change the old man for the new man. The old garment for the new garment. The old wineskin for the new wineskin. And once anyone is in Christ Jesus, it is just a lifelong process and challenge of sanctification to do this, to put off the old and put on the new. And the ways in which we can do that or see where we're at within that is because a tree is going to be known by its fruit, right? And it's lovely the way that Andrew, Soros and Wayne went through Galatians 5, because we look at that fruit, singular of the Spirit, and, you know, we can ask ourselves things like, well, how are we doing with love? It's agape love, right, in its context. Unconditional love. Do we love each other unconditionally? How are we doing with unconditional love? What about joy? That joy which, you know, it's not because something nice happens to us, but it's joy. To be joyous in every city. Count it all joy when you go through these trials. What? I'm going through a trial and I'm going to count it joy. What's going on, Jesus? Yeah, count it all joy, bruv. What about the peace? Shalom. The peace of God. The peace with God and the peace of God. Shalom. You know, when we greet each other and we say shalom, it's like, everything which God wants to bless you with, I want to bless you with it. That's the kind of attitude when you say shalom to someone. The tranquility of God that rests upon you. Not you, Warren, but you people. You get me? Long suffering, oh my goodness. Do we suffer long? Long suffering, do we suffer long? Let's not go any further with that one because we need to be long-suffering. Kindness. I mean, how are you doing with being kind? Just being kind and nice to people. Goodness. I love that what Soros says comes from godness, right? God is good. And all the time. Amen. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Are you faithful? Are we faithful? If you're going to be faithful in little, God says it's a principle, because if you're faithful in little, you're going to be faithful in much. But if you're not faithful in little, why would God give you much? Why would you think, God, I want this big thing over here, but you're not even faithful a little thing over here I'm giving to you, bro. Faithfulness. Are we faithful? Faithful to the Lord. It is living by faith as well, absolutely. But it's being faithful to the things God has given to us. He's entrusted into our care. Gentleness. That's a good one as well. You know, just having a nice, gentle demeanor, a way about you. Treating people with gentleness. It's lovely. I mean, I've often been criticized of being very, very hard and direct. I don't see it myself, but... but you get me. But, you know, gentleness. You see, we've all got room to maneuver in all of these, right? Yes. All got room to grow in all of these. Gentleness, self-control. Yes, self-control. How are we doing with that? Self-control in our lives. Because as we start allowing these things to develop and ferment within our lives, you know, we're being pleasing before our Heavenly Father. And the thing is, see, this is how good God is, right? You might not feel it as you're going through it. He uses situations. He uses circumstances in our lives specifically to point the finger at us and touch things in our lives which he wants to address. So he uses confrontation. Some people love confrontation. But he'll use confrontation. He'll use disappointment. He will use unruly children. He will use unfaithful partners. He will use the experience of loss. He will use sickness. He would even use lockdown. Just to see what is in our hearts and how we want to either draw closer to him, stay where we are, or move back. And so, He does this all with the hope, as I said, that Christ's likeness will be produced within us. And so, you know, just landing this plane now. Family, 2020 and 2021, guess what? It has not taken God by surprise. It's taken us by surprise. It hasn't taken God by surprise. Do you think our Heavenly Father was up in heaven scratching his head thinking, oh my goodness, COVID, they're on lockdown, what am I going to do? What's going to happen to my church? We were like that, right? Do you think he was worried? You think he was panicking? He wasn't panicking. But he will use this situation just as it's, for me, it's like a shaking. I'm not only going to shake the heavens, I'm going to shake the heavens and I'm going to shake the earth. Just to see that once I've done a little bit of shaking around here, okay, what's still stood on the rock? What's still firmly on the rock? Oh, you was on sand, was you? Okay, cool. What's still on the rock around here? He will use it. The ultimate purpose is to be with Jesus. This world is fading away. As my dad would say, you better believe it. This world is fading away. Romans says we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? Transformed. This world is not your home. We're sojourners and we're pilgrims on this place. Some of us have kind of like got a bit too comfortable to this place. It's the only place we know, I get it, right? But when we start thinking about a city whose builder and maker hasn't got hands and all that, you're like, yo, that's what Abraham was looking for, you know. There's another place. You look in the book of Revelation and you saw a new Jerusalem coming down. However you want to look at that. But that's metaphorical, if it's real, whatever. But this world's not your home. Amen. This world's not your home. And so, Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, who he gave to his church on the day of Pentecost, desires for us to be his bride, which will be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's what he desires. Jesus knows those who are his own, and it's the angels going to have to come up and say, all right, wheat and tares, sheep and goats, I'll sort it out. But, beloved, as the book of John says, we're in the last hour. Not to frighten anyone, but I do believe we are in the last hour. How close in that last hour, I don't know. But the Lord wants us to take us through that process of being more and more like him, because he's interested in our garments. He's our spiritual garments, not Louis or Gucci now, right? In our spiritual garments. And he's worried and he's interested in what type of wineskin we are. Think about, just going to close with this, because I read it and I just thought, you know what? I just loved it. It just made me think of garments. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. A little bit of text. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Who's that? Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, right? And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, and guess what? And washed us from our sins in his blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Behold, this is listen up, right? He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. But we're not finished yet. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So don't get it twisted, right? That's me. Then it goes back to John. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation. In what? In tribulation. In tribulation. And kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. However it sounded. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, John, guess what? Write in a book and send it to the seven churches which is in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, however you pronounce it, to Sardis, to Philadelphia and Laodicea. Then I turned, after hearing that loud voice, right, like a trumpet. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. And guess what? He was clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with golden band. His head and hair was white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet was like fine brass, as if refined in furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw it, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said to me, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I live. Guess what? Forevermore. Amen and amen and amen. And guess what? I have the keys of Hades and death. And then he carries on. I got the keys. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm beginning the end. I'm the first and the last. And guess what? You see, death, I got his keys. I got his keys. That's the Lord we serve. That's the Lord who's going to return for us. And so, beloved, be of good cheer. Lockdown came to rock us, but you know what? We stand on the rock of ages. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at your word and be encouraged. We can be challenged. Garments, wineskins, however we receive it, Lord, however you get it into our minds and into our hearts, Lord, to be more like you, Lord, that is our desire. That's our intention. That should be our desire and our intention. So continue just to minister to us in that way, I pray. Just thank you, Lord, for this body of believers. Just have a passion for you and a love for you, Lord. And thank you for the testimony of Soros and for Doreen and those we've been able to just stand alongside during this time, Lord. For Sister Becky and Diane, Lord, who have lost loved ones during this time as well. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather around as family and support each other and help each other. So continue to help us in that endeavor, Lord. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't think the way this world thinks. And so we're encouraged, Lord, because our hope and our trust is in you. Thank you for this time again in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.